Chapter 27. Slaty Bartfast's study was a total mess, like the results of an explosion in a public library. The old man frowned as they stepped in.
"Terribly unfortunate," he said. "A diode blew in one of the life support computers. When we tried to revive our cleaning staff, we discovered they'd been dead for nearly 30,000 years. Who's going to clear away the bodies? That's what I want to know. Look, why don't you sit yourself down over there and let me plug you in?"
He gestured Arthur towards a chair, which looked as if it had been made out of the ribcage of a stegosaurus.
"It was made out of the ribcage of a stegosaurus," explained the old man, as he pottered about, fishing bits of wire out from under tottering piles of paper and drawing instruments. "Here," he said, "hold these," and passed a couple of stripped wire ends to Arthur.
The instant he took hold of them, a bird flew straight through him. He was suspended in mid-air and totally invisible to himself. Beneath him was a pretty tree-lined square, and all around it, as far as the eye could see, were white concrete buildings of airy, spacious design, but somewhat the worse for wear. Many were cracked and stained with rain. Today, however, the sun was shining, a fresh breeze danced lightly through the trees, and the odd sensation that all the buildings were quietly humming was probably caused by the fact that the square and all the streets around it were thronged with cheerful, excited people. Somewhere a band was playing, brightly coloured flags were fluttering in the breeze, and the spirit of carnival was in the air. Arthur felt extraordinarily lonely, stuck up in the air above it all without so much as a body to his name. But before he had time to reflect on this, a voice rang out across the square and called for everyone's attention. A man, standing on a brightly dressed dais before the building which clearly dominated the square, was addressing the crowd over a tannoy.
"O people who wait in the shadow of deep thought," he cried out, "honoured descendants of Vroomfondel and Magic Thighs, the greatest and most truly interesting pundits the universe has ever known, the time of waiting is over." Wild cheers broke out amongst the crowds. Flags, streamers, and wolf whistles sailed through the air. The narrower streets looked rather like centipedes rolled over on their backs and frantically waving their legs in the air. 7.5 million years our race has waited for this great and hopefully enlightening day," cried the cheerleader. "The day of the answer!" Hurrahs burst from the ecstatic crowd. "Never again," cried the man. "Never again will we wake up in the morning and think, who am I? What is my purpose in life? Does it really, cosmically speaking, matter if I don't get up and go to work? For today, we will finally learn, once and for all, the plain and simple answer to all these nagging little problems of life, the universe, and everything!" As the crowd erupted once again, Arthur found himself gliding through the air and down towards one of the large, stately windows on the first floor of the building, behind the dais from which the speaker was addressing the crowd. He experienced a moment's panic as he sailed straight towards the window, which passed a second or so later, when he found he'd gone right through the solid glass without apparently touching it. No one in the room remarked on his peculiar arrival, which is hardly surprising, as he wasn't there. He began to realize that the whole experience was merely a recorded projection, which knocked 6-track 70mm into a cocked hat. The room was much as Slaty Bartfast had described it. In 7.5 million years, it had been well looked after and cleaned regularly every century or so. The ultra-mahogany desk was worn at the edges, the carpet a little faded now, but the large computer terminal sat in sparkling glory on the desk's leather top, as bright as if it had been constructed yesterday. Two severely dressed men sat respectfully before the terminal and waited.
"The time is nearly upon us," said one.
And Arthur was surprised to see a word suddenly materialize in thin air just by the man's neck. The word was Lunqual, and it flashed a couple of times and then disappeared again. Before Arthur was able to assimilate this, the other man spoke, and the word Falk appeared by his neck.
75,000 generations ago, our ancestors set this program in motion," the second man said, "and in all that time we will be the first to hear the computer speak." An awesome prospect, Falk, agreed the first man. And Arthur suddenly realized he was watching a recording with subtitles. We are the first ones who will hear, said Falk, the answer to the great question of life. The universe, said Loonquall, and everything. Shh, said Loonquall with a slight gesture. I think Deep Thought is preparing to speak. There was a moment's expectant pause, whilst panels slowly came to life on front of the console. Lights flashed on and off, experimentally, and settled down into a business-like pattern. A soft, low hum came from the communication channel.
Good morning, said Deep Thought at last.
Good morning, oh Deep Thought, said Loonquall nervously. Do you have...
An answer for you, interrupted Deep Thought majestically. Yes, I have.
The two men shivered with expectancy. Their waiting had not been in vain.
There really is one, breathed Falk.
There really is one, confirmed Deep Thought.
To everything? To the great question of life, the universe, and everything?
Yes.
Both of the men had been trained for this moment. Their lives had been a preparation for it. They had been selected at birth as those who would witness the answer. But even so, they found themselves gasping and squirming like excited children.
And are you ready to give it to us? Urged Loonquall.
I am.
Now?
Now, said Deep Thought.
They both licked their dry lips.
Though I don't think, added Deep Thought, that you're going to like it.
Doesn't matter, said Falk. We must know it, now.
Now?
Inquired Deep Thought.
Yes, now.
All right,
said the computer, and settled into silence again. The two men fidgeted. The tension was unbearable.
You're really not going to like it, observed Deep Thought.
Tell us!
All right, said Deep Thought. The answer to the great question...
Yes.
...of life, the universe, and everything, said Deep Thought.
Yes.
...is,
said Deep Thought, and paused.
Yes.
...is...
Yes.
42,
said Deep Thought, with infinite majesty and calm.